Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert.
Hello, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington also.
And this is Steve from Gilbert, Arizona.
We were going through the Beatitudes. It's actually, the Greek says these are the things that'll make you extremely happy. The Greek word is makarios. So everybody that practices these, and we counted them out, there's actually nine things, the same number that the Holy Spirit has. Nine gifts of the Spirit, nine fruit of the Spirit, nine makarios of the Spirit. The nine ways we are going to be happy if we do these things. And the last one that we talked about are the peacemakers, and they will be called the sons of God.
The next one is in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 5. It says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in the heavens, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Anyway, we were looking at the different things within Matthew that teach us about the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew is, again, Jesus is the king. And this is the kingdom of heaven mentioned in Matthew, not mentioned in Mark, Luke, or John. And Mark is going to be, when we get into that, we're going to learn how Jesus was the ultimate servant that came up to this earth to serve us, to bring us out of the broad way that we were in that leads to destruction, and bring us into the kingdom of the heavens. And everything that we do, if we follow this path, it's a step-by-step path shown through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that order is exactly correct. It's actually proven in mathematically that it is the absolute correct order. And this is a way, like when you go to first grade, you learn certain basic things, and then you can add to that in the second grade and third grade and fourth grade. You keep adding to it, and it causes you to grow up. And become a good citizen, and become a happy kid, and later on become a man. And I'm talking without gender; that's to men and women alike. So the Bible, in some ways, in a lot of cases, does not, even though it calls it a son of God, it's talking about women and men. It's not making a distinction. Gender in the Greek is merely a bucket to put things in, like a table, a ship. It might be in the feminine gender or masculine gender, but it has nothing to do with you as a person. It's just, it's a bucket to put it, those particular descriptors in. And so you might want to ignore that and not take any offense, because the Son of God is talking to men and women alike. Once in a while, I think once or twice, he uses daughter of God that I've seen. So this is, we are still in Matthew. We're learning about the kingdom of heaven. So we're taught to look up, because our redemption draws near. And so this song is found in Colossians chapter 3. And a friend of ours, Cheryl Richardson, got the song for this scripture. By the way, the whole Bible is sung. It's mathematical. Anybody that knows about music, music is mathematical. It is absolutely mathematical. And unless you're playing confusing music, but it's set up to be the rhythm, the way it's it is designed. And so the Bible are the two original languages, the Hebrew and the Greek, are both mathematical. The letters, each letter has a mathematical or numeric number. No other language in the world. There's over at least 8,000 languages that have been mapped. We don't know how many languages have not been mapped. And the only two in the world are the Bible languages that are alphanumeric. They're both mean something in a language, and they mean something numerically. So this first book in the Bible is about looking up, because our redemption draws near and it's getting us used to this new kingdom that we can actually enter into the kingdom of the heavens.
Set your mind,
set your mind
on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died,
for you have died,
and your life is hidden with Christ, with Christ in God. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, seated at the right hand of God.
Set your mind
on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died,
for you have died,
and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory, in glory.
Set your mind
on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died,
for you have died,
and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Set your mind on the things above. That's where the first thing that, remember how Satan tried to drag Christ down just before he started his ministry to get him to worship him, and Jesus would not go that direction. So we just went through the Beatitudes, the Makarios, the things that'll make us exceedingly happy. And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, or happy, exceptionally happy. I think I like that term a little bit better. Exceptionally happy are the poor in spirit. They're not proud, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Exceptionally happy are those who mourn, and they shall be comforted. In other words, they're not happy with the way the world is. They're not happy with their lives. They want to change. Not everybody wants a change, and God offers them a change. He offers them eternal life, but not everybody wants that, apparently. And so he offers that to them. And blessed are the gentle, or the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Extremely happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They want to be right. They want to change their ways. They don't like the way they're going. And extremely happy, exceptionally happy, are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. In other words, they're able to overlook any fault of another person. And even though that person doesn't deserve it, which none of us did, they're willing to just forgive and forget. And exceptionally happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And it's actually God. If we go along this path, there is a time where God cleanses our heart. Created me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. That's in Psalms 51. And exceptionally happy are the peacemakers, for they shall become the sons of God. Do you see some of the parts of the kingdom of God? Righteousness is in here. Peace, right? And joy, the word makarios. So this is all saying the same thing. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's found in Romans. And blessed or exceptionally happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. They've chosen the higher path, and you're going to get persecuted because of it. You will be at times. And exceptionally happy are the people when people insult and persecute you falsely. In other words, you shouldn't be doing it when you get... it doesn't mean you will never sin. Is anybody not sinned? I mean, completely not sinned?
No.
Like you still do, right?
Yeah.
But you learn to put aside those things and keep growing. There's things I've fought for years and finally just recently have overcome them. I don't know about you. I wasn't made perfect in a day, and there's still things I struggle with and have to fight constantly.
Mm-hmm. It really forces you, and that force is not a good way of saying it. It really
compels
you to really rely on the Lord,
yeah,
not on yourself. Because you know where yourself will lead you.
Right. It's the whole thing is provided for us if we will follow the steps the Lord mm-hmm. has. He will. He is our righteousness. Then the next, really a parable, a likeness of something using, in this case, salt and light. What's the next context? 13 through 16. So this is really one of the first parables. Somebody want to read that and explain it to me?
Sure. 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under foot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
So we are the salt of the earth. Did you know that the Great Lakes have... In Lake Erie, there is a coral island, and you don't have coral in fresh water. So it shows that at one time, the Great Lakes was part of the ocean, or salt. The deepest is Lake Superior. It's around 800, I think in some places, maybe up to 1,000 feet deep. It's big, the biggest in area and really deep. And a real shallow one is Lake Erie. It's only 200 feet deep. But in Lake Huron, between Lake Superior in Michigan and Lake Erie, Lake Huron has a salt mine. It used to have salt in it. It has a salt mine near the town of Kincardine. And they take freighters full of salt out of there, I believe, every day. Out of Lake Huron. And salt was the refrigerator of the ancient world. It's how they preserve fish and preserve things. So it's a cleansing agent. Sometimes after you have surgery in your mouth, you'll cleanse your mouth with salt. Any other things? You can also, did you know you can also purify things with light? Light is a purifying agent. And it depends on what light rays, you know, what wavelengths and so on that people use, but they also use that. And light, too, if you don't want to get your house broken into, you usually run a, you know, so it cleanses other things, too. Riffraff that want to maybe break into your house. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? How about the Bible? You know, we might talk about the Bible, but one thing, it's called the living word. And have you ever heard of something from that's truth, that's out of the Bible, that maybe it strikes you a week later, a month later, but sometime it's in there living, and at the right time, the Holy Spirit draws it out and it becomes living to you? You ever had that happen?
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard a teaching that all of a sudden it dawns on you? You know, dawn, you know what dawn means? Light, morning mm-hmm. light. That's yeah. what that expression means. It dawns on you, the light bulb goes on
right.
in your heart, and you understand what that's saying.
Well, it says, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance all that he said to them. And so that I've heard things, and then I didn't know where to put those until maybe 5 years later, all of a sudden I'll read something or that will come into my mind and say, that's where that fits.
If you are dealing with the living word, not just somebody's fantasy about the Bible, but if you're dealing with the real word in truth, that will happen. It's living. It's got depth to it, but it's got life.
Yeah.
And that's why we love to read the Bible, and you'll remember a certain percentage of it if you read it, maybe 10%. If you hear it from somebody else, maybe you're in the 10%, but if you read it, it'll increase. Then if you write it down, you can maybe have about a 40% recollection. And then if you tell it to somebody else, you're getting close to 100%. If you turn around and teach or tell another person, and I don't mean preach at them, but at the right time you use it to help them, I was learning engineering. Then the company I worked for demanded that I turn around and teach all the design staff. So it put me in a position, and they wanted to see me in there, like the principal's office. Well, see you in my office. No, they wanted to see me personally, and they would teach me, but I had to turn around and teach all the rest of them. And I found it to be a really joyful thing to do, that you could help other people grow in it. But I found myself really clicking. I could see it in my mind's eye, and it worked. And this is why, well, don't we do the same thing in our fellowships?
Mm-hmm.
Ray used to teach me, a man of God used to teach me, just happened to be one of the many, and you would turn around and teach others, and I might take that one teaching and go to several different towns, and that's how I got started. And that's how I learned, is by doing those things. One was taking notes, reading it myself, making it mine. How do you like that making it mine thing? In other words, well, this is what such and such said. No, you make it your own. Because you'll have a different ministry, and you'll use it the way God made you. And you don't want to act like another man, because that's called a robot or a man follower.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, doesn't look too good, does it?
No.
It's not good, because then you're following a man. But how can you learn these scriptures unless a preacher be sent? So somebody will be sent to maybe teach you. But for you to really learn it, you've got to turn around and make it yours, write it down, and then go on and tell others. And it works, doesn't it?
It does. Yep.
So we are the salt of the earth, and we have to stay. It can't be tainted, and I think that original word means to be tainted. And
word it, tasteless? Is that what you're talking
yeah.
about?
So there's a specific group that's going to be the salt of the earth, and if that group, if anyone in that group loses the flavor of the salt or the intent of what that salt was to do— It says, what does it say here? It's good for nothing. but it's going to be thrown out. So this is really serious talk here.
And trampled under the foot of man.
So instead of being salt and bringing the savor of God out to man, if a person doesn't do that when they've been made that, it says that something will happen to them. It's good for nothing. So this is serious. When we change our mind, he wants us to keep going and come and follow him. That means that, like you've said, Gil, Jesus is on the move, and we need to follow him. And that means not just over here and over there, but in our lives.
Follow, one word, follow him, peripateo, stay on the path, and stoikeo, follow him, keep in step, right? That's what we, and that wasn't, I didn't see that. My friends, all of us, there are different people that will study something out, and we share that with each other. It's, we're a group, maybe 100 or so on, that we are constantly talking to each other and sharing our information and making it where it's no longer ours. Brett will make it his, Steve will make it his, Andy will make it his, and then they'll help me. And it reminds me of me doing engineering work. I worked in a lot of different places because I wanted to gather information. I saw people were, everybody seemed like in engineering they had a specialty. And I wanted to learn all the different specialties. But I like the fact that when they put me in a position to teach others, that's when I really, when you turn around and give it, you have to freely give, that's when you really learn, because you're working it out for yourself. And you'll put it in your words, it'll be the same word of God from God, but you'll do it because of your, there's not just one type of ministry. How many different gifts are there to minister within Christ's family? There's helps, there's apostles, prophets, and an apostle means a person that stands away. It could be a mission, like a missionary type thing. And a prophet, the Greek word means to foretell, tell it. It could be teaching, just like, you know, people make it a big, big thing, but it's like being a teacher. You're foretelling things. And what are some of the other ones? Evangelist.
Yeah, evangelists, pastors.
Teachers.
A sheep herder, pastor.
A sheep herder.
Not like a person that's a head, but one that is a sheep. A sheep with the sheep, watching
sheep
the sheep.
Sheep in the field.
Yeah,
an equal. With responsibility
not,
for sheep.
Not an over like we think, but maybe more like an underseer, because we haven't got to Mark yet. But we find out servitude. So a true pastor is one that's feeding himself, but he's, because he's the same. He's an equal, but he's helping the others. He'll be looking up, is there a wolf coming? Or, hey, the field's better over there. Why don't we go there? Because this one's kind of getting bad. And everybody has these different, and there's different ministries, one Lord. And we counted them one time, and there's, I can't think, what helps? What's another one that we don't think of that much? It's in 1 Corinthians like 12, 1 Corinthians 14.
There's one in 12:28.
What's that? What's that, Steve?
It says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and kinds of tongues.
And they're not all the same, doesn't it say that?
Yeah, it goes on and says, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? And all do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts.
And the greater gift is the need. If a person's dying, let's say of a heart attack, you don't want a grocer, the person that runs a grocery store, you want
a doctor. A
cardiologist.
Yeah.
You know, if a person is hungry,
get them a chef.
Yeah, get them a chef or a grocery store.
Yeah.
Somebody that works in a grocery store.
You know, you said the word, the salt is for purifying things. So if Jesus says that you are the one that helps purify things on the earth, that you turn people, make them pure following God, you purify things, you're in that whole job. And Jesus is using just the word salt to denote all of this picture we're talking about. He uses one simple word.
God does the purifying, but we're
involved.
Administer that, right?
Yes.
You put salt in the wound.
You know, in the Greek where it says, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. If you look at the word fishers, do you know what it is? Salters.
Salters of men.
Salters of men. Well, there's salt again.
Well, how about preservative? It's a preservative.
It preserves their lives.
You want them to stay alive?
Yes.
But we're also to be preservers of the truth, you know, to purify, to make sure we're teaching
to keep
exactly
it right.
And there are some mistranslations in from Greek or Hebrew to English, and we're trying our best, and we've noticed things that we've had to change, and we are, little by little, as we learn them, we correct how we actually explain a word. Our conversations, we want them to be more like we're conveying exactly what God wants us to say.
And he even says, I want your conversation to be what?
Pure.
Seasoned.
With salt.
It's, no, it says it. So yeah. This word keeps good. Jesus says the word here, but then it starts growing in the other scriptures we know. And he just said it's simple here. Yeah. You're the salt.
And what does salt do to food?
Puts flavor in it.
It actually takes the flavor and it enhances, it doesn't change the flavor, it makes the flavor more intense, doesn't it?
So if you're dealing with the Word of God, you don't change it, you enhance it. You're an enhancer of it.
It's a more revealer, it's a bigger revealer of the original flavor, but...
And not changing it.
Right.
And God uses each person, everybody's got a
to do that.
Different flavor about them.
Right, they do. And it's interesting, you might hear the same thing from Brett, you might hear the same thing from Steve and Andy or me, but you get, he always sent them out, people out two by two, and he also talked about a threefold cord, but sometimes when you get, and we're sitting in a group, we're all sitting around, there's four of us here, and let's say if Jesus is in the middle, which it portrays that in Mark, and... Andy has one view. He has a view from the west. Steve has a view from the east. Brett has a view from the south, and I have the north. Somebody's going to see his face. Somebody will see his back, right side, left side, whatever. That's what we want to see. So we get the full view in ministry as you get the full view of Christ. Not one person will have it. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So... it's interesting how Jesus sets up his people to go back and become a fisher of man the right way. It won't be one person. It'll be a group. And they used a net. And it takes usually a group to haul in a net. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth. And we're going to continue this in the next radio show. Thank you.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington, 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.